This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
We're working on a Kick the Habit kickball league, right? And more. So we're live in Studio 2 with our pal Larry Collins. Larry, it's always such a pleasure to have you on these airwaves. He's going to cough into the microphone. That's fine. We're also joined by Pastor Carlos Richards and Adrian Collins. I got your names right?
Yes.
Good. Thank you so much for being here, because this has been a hard couple of weeks. And sometimes when you do news and you do media, it's hard to find positivity. But you guys do positivity. In fact, you take really hard, difficult issues and turn them into opportunities. That's just the way I see people of purpose. And Papa, that's what we call. So, Larry, talk about your new anti-bullying campaign. You have like a slideshow. You've got digital media. You're taking it places. Larry looks nervous, but yeah, I know he's not.
I'm not nervous. I'm a little under the weather. What I'm going to do, I'm going to pass the mic on. Since I'm being bullied this morning by Pastor Richard, I'm going to pass the mic on and let him do his thing, and then Adrian. Because I'm a little tarp on my voice.
All right.
Sure
okay.
thing, Larry. Lisa, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here KB Radio this morning. Thank you for having us and helping us disseminate the message about the bullying and how important it is to reduce and eliminate bullying, not just in the neighborhoods, but in schools and our families, and just in the community in general. So, again, my name is Pastor Carlos Richard. I am the pastor of Tabernacle of the Congregation Ministries here in Portland, Oregon. And Larry and I think last summer, actually this was during a Retail in the Soil campaign at Irving Park. Larry and I were on the telephone, and we were talking about doing a joint effort between Tabernacle of the Congregation Ministries and PAPA to address this issue of bullying. And what Larry and I discovered with our observation is that there was really nobody from the grassroots community in North Northeast Portland that really took it upon themselves to address this issue of bullying by going a little bit deeper to get into the causes of bullying. People talk about bullying in general. We mentioned bullying. There's a lot of individuals. There's a lot of organizations and entities that declare a zero tolerance policy for bullying. But it's one thing to have the zero tolerance policy for bullying, and it's another thing to say, let's get an initiative together to address the causes of bullying, the symptoms of bullying. And then I think what's most important, Lisa, is you have to have some type of plan, some type of resolution in place so that we can actually start the next steps of reducing and eliminating bullying in our schools, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, et cetera, et cetera. So this is something that is extremely important, extremely imperative, and that's how Papa and Tabernacle came together, along with my mother, Elizabeth Richard, with the Della Mae Johnson Scholarship Seminar to start providing workshops and seminars and holding discussions around the method of TED Talks so that we can talk about bullying and really bring awareness, but move from awareness to solution.
That's incredible. I've never heard of that. That's wonderful. I want to come back to that. I want to go to Adrian Collins. Adrian, do you have a piece of this? I know Larry's going to make you talk now, and we all agree Larry was going to do most of the talking, but now he's pointing at you. He's calling you out. What's your piece of this?
First of all, good morning, Portland, and to all those listening around the nation. My name's Adrian Collins. I'm on the board of PAPA's Public Relations. I identify bullying as, I want to know if it's where it starts, but most importantly, where it ends. You have children, how it can be related to gang involvement, you know, so we want to see if we can tie that in statistically. Of children that come from abusive homes, been bullied by parents, if they go out and take it out on their peers. Mm-hmm. Me being an ex-gang member, I can't really say that I was in being bullied at home, but there was times where I protected guys that were bullied, you know. So we're going to tap into it as a unit and see if we can get to the bottom of it. Also, like insecurities, you know, when children are bullied, they have insecurities that allow themselves to be bullied or to let that have an impact on their livelihood. So Papa wanted to launch Club Confidence, which would give kids, you know, a little bit of self-assurance to be able to identify who they are, so whatever anyone says doesn't make you, you know. So that's where I'm at. We're going to have a Kick the Bad Habit kickball league this summer for kids to come and open up and have a good time with us and share their inner thoughts. And, you know, I've identified that kids, they open up when they're smiling. Mm-hmm. So we want to let them have fun and talk to us and get to know us so we can go forward with our campaign.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit of backstory here. We've had Mr. Collins on these airwaves for a few years. And every year, People of Purpose and Associates does this event called the Day of Retilling the Soil. Is it in July?
July 27th.
And so basically, people form a couple of work crews that go and clean up parts of North and Northeast Portland around Jefferson High School and another location.
15th Killingsworth.
There you go. And then in the afternoon, all day long, there's a basketball tournament for youth, and then there's a great big barbecue, and people come together, and different things come out of that. And what I love about it is just relationships. It's like people who know that there's something they can count on where people can come together, even once a year, even if it's just once a year. But Papa also does other things. What I really love about you is that you are so grassrooty that by and large, you often don't mess around with digital media and Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that, because you're doing stuff that is so much more basic, that's face-to-face. I love that. I love that about you. You're building community, one handshake, one person at a time, instead of like necessarily going on a computer and trying to interact with people on a screen. And I just think that's key. You know, sometimes we talk about digital media, but there are places where it's not always the best tool that you have. And so if you're really trying to empower people in this situation, I think it's great, like the focus on the face-to-face. And that's why I'm so interested in Pastor Carlos Richards, what you were talking about is these seminars that your mother does. But we have a caller. Callers, we're asking, how has bullying affected your life? Do you have insights about the dynamics of it? We'd love to hear from you. And the number to call, 503-231-8187. Joanne, what do you got? What's going on?
Well, I better not reveal that about myself.
Okay.
I'm finding it, as I live longer each day, to hate than to love. But anyway, that's my ongoing work. You know, this bully, oh my gosh, it goes in so many places. I've just experienced it recently in a newsletter in my public housing building. And it was a well-written, six-paragraph article by our manager who got her college degree with the help of the housing authority and also has a child. But it was well-written. It was about the police coming to a meeting and educating us about how to spy on each other and a lot of police propaganda supporting in her well-written thing in our newsletter. And now here's the one thing too that she put in there, but it's not hers, it's by a Robert Peel. The police are the public, and the public are the police. The police, being only members of the public who are paid to give full-time attention to duties which are incumbent on every citizen in the interest of community welfare and existence. We got bullies everywhere in this country for generations. I don't think like violence against women and children and life is going to ever end. But thanks for the program.
All right, Joanne. Joanne always puts a lot of stuff on the table. So Joanne's already pulling out, like, how do we even define bullying? And Joanne's talking about, you know, she goes through a lot of issues in public housing, right? And in public housing, we talk about that on this radio show a lot, too. People, you're kind of at the mercy of your manager, your building manager. And we're seeing how actually bullying is something that, like, when people are dealing with, like, a power structure.
Well, I think, Lisa, you know, two things I think have to be considered with respect to a depiction of bullying. One, there has to be an imbalance of power. And this is what Joanne talked about with respect to a manager and the manager's tenants. Okay, there is a clear imbalance of power there. I think also, as well as an imbalance of power, I think repetition is another aspect that really helps us to define and depict bullying.
What do you mean?
So repetition. Let's use a schoolyard example, if we may. The kid who was not the popular kid, the kid who was ostracized and more than likely isolated from the other kids. What happens in a playground situation is this kid always ends up getting bullied for their lunch money. And then the kid goes home, and the kid starts displaying signs and characteristics of bullying that parents may not be aware of. Their stories are short. They don't talk about what happened during the school day in terms of what was exciting. So if they're not talking about what was exciting about school, they're definitely not going to tell their parents about the negativity that they experienced at school. And so these kids continue to get bullied day in and day out. Fear sets in. And when fear sets into a child on the playground, the child becomes paralyzed and almost numb in the sense of having the wherewithal to report that to a school official or school administrator. So this kid continues to be bullied. It is a repetitious event that continues to happen day in and day out because there is a clear imbalance of power. So in that situation, we always ask school officials, school administrators, principals, vice principals, security agents at schools to really keep an open eye for children who are isolated, children who are ostracized, children who are not playing in the sandbox, children who are not picked to play tetherball or basketball or football. These children more than likely are displaying signs. When you ask them about what's going on, their story changes from day to day. I mean, these are clear signs. What happened, Johnny, on the playground? It looks like you got a scratch on your knee. That kid will never say that they pushed me down and took my lunch money. They'll always tell a different story that is contrarywise or opposite to the truth. So what we have to do is realize, number one, bullying, one definition, it's an imbalance of power. Even with the police department and citizens, it is an imbalance of power. Look what's happening in the IRS right now. In the Obama administration, the IRS, using their power to scrutinize Tea Party applications for nonprofit status, an imbalance of power. And I agree with the caller. I agree with Joanne. Bullying happens at all levels. And finally, Lisa, I'll say this. One of the things that I think we have to pay attention to with respect to bullying is around elder abuse. It's very, very important. How does bullying happen with our elders? Well, when you have daycare providers who go into homes and their job is to clean the homes of these elderly people, these senior individuals of our society, their money is taken. They are sometimes hit. They're sometimes beat. When you go into nursing homes, again, an imbalance of power, not in age, but an imbalance of power in terms of physical strength. So Joanne, I think, hit it right on the head and right on the money that bullying occurs in all forms and methods.
Mm. Were you going to say something, Larry?
Are you kidding me?
No. You know what strikes me? Because you're bringing up this issue of kids on the playground. My son is now 22 years old. He's 6 feet tall. He's in college. He's doing great. He's a wildlife biology major. When he was in first grade, he went to Sabin Elementary School, which had a wonderful principal. I liked her a lot. Well, come to find out, he was getting totally pushed around on the playground. And so I kept approaching the principal and saying, what are you going to do about it, right? And she said, he needs to learn how to fight. That's what I always heard about my kid who was a bully magnet. He has to learn how to fight. And that made me for a long time start understanding how men, you guys live with a level of violence that is taken for granted. It's like it's assumed, right? And at one point, my son, in first grade, he told me that four other kids held him against the fence and a fifth kid body slammed him. My son was a heart baby. He had open heart surgery, right? He had a great big scar in his chest. Well, the principal didn't know that. When I laid that down to the principal, she freaked out, but she wouldn't back off, okay? He still had to learn how to fight. And what did my son say? I have to share this with the planet. My son said, who's going to teach the other kids peace? She had no response to that. Did you guys want to respond?
Yes, I agree with you completely. I know I can identify with the situation, and I say that bullies create bullies. Because, the like he says, the imbalance of power. There's always going to be someone weaker than the next. And when someone is abused, they'll take it out on someone that's less than, you know. So I mean, you have to be considerate of others' emotions, you know. Do unto others like you would like them to do unto you. That's like one of the oldest sayings in the book, you know. That's something we have to get back to, you know.
Now, to add to that, Adrian, I think, you know, when you talk about boys, when you talk about young men who bully, whether it's in Head Start, whether it's in grade school, middle school, and elementary school, again, when we talk about digging deeper, Lisa, what we have to include is this question: what impact does family violence have in creating bullies in the home who, as Adrian just pointed out, create bullies on the schoolyard? See, the problem is, I think we focus on the bullying in the moment, but we have to dig deeper and we have to get down to the roots. Domestic violence, we know, is a enormous, gigantic issue that impacts all families. It doesn't matter your race, ethnicity, culture, so on and so forth. It impacts. At the end of the day, when young men see violence take place in the home against their mothers at the hand of their fathers, all of the national statistics say that when it comes to domestic violence, 95 to 96% of domestic violence is initiated from the man toward the woman. Okay. Now, since that is the case, okay, these young men then see the violence in their home. And it's just not violence against the mother. It's violence against the children. So we go from domestic abuse between a couple to family abuse that comes from the father. And it can also come from the mother. We're just not singling men out here. So what happens at the end of the day is this violence is perpetuated from the home to the school to the community. And we have to address every point, every issue, the impact, these characteristics. We have to address all of them, because if we do not address all of them, okay, we're going to actually see this thing spiral out of control. So we got to get back to the nuclear family. We got to get back to the family unit as a starting point for addressing domestic, for addressing bullying.
That's completely amazing. And we do have a caller. Listeners, look, how has bullying affected your life? Did you live with bullying? The magical engineering pixie ran in here with a note to me about how that's why he studied martial arts for so many years. Never used the physical aspects, but the sense of confidence it instills serves me daily. Everyone's impacted by this, callers. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. We're live in Studio 2 with Larry Collins and our pals from People of Purpose and Associates. And after a little while, we're going to get into what's in that anti-bullying curriculum, which is really interesting. But we really want to hear from you, callers. Like, how have you dealt with this? 503-231-8187. Now, don't wait till the last 5 minutes before 9 before you call. I know you're not going to. So we have Sean. Is that you, Sean? What's going on?
Hey, I actually wound up in an adolescent psychiatric hospital for 4 months because I was so truant. I would actually refuse to go to school because of, you know, just how just out of control the whole bullying situation was. But I agree with everything that's been said, but I think there's a basic contradiction going on here in that we believe in the United States in a kind of toxic masculinity, this whole notion of social Darwinism. We believe that we incentivize people by creating humiliation and triumph, you know, this sort of establishing dominance over one another. You can actually see it if you go from neighborhood to neighborhood. You see some people have established dominance over other people by the kind of housing that they live in, you know, by the kind of car they drive. You know, so this is really at the heart of American, of what makes us American, this whole notion of establishing dominance over each other and humiliating one another, because some people believe that that brings out the best in us, that that's a way to incentivize greatness. Now, I think it's ridiculous, but I think that basic contradiction has to be talked about in terms of, you know, why bullying persists and why it's so ingrained in who we are as a people.
Oh, tough issues, Sean. Thanks for calling. Sean's putting some hard stuff on the table there. Like, how do you really dig underneath this? It's so big.
You know, it's like, that's a good question. As an athlete, okay, I used to be an athlete, and my dad or my coach would always say, go out there, men don't cry. Men are tough, they do this, they do that, and we believe that. And so our job is to seek and destroy, okay? That's why this bully thing is so good, isn't it? We're, and we're coming after everything. We're becoming transparent. Okay, is bullying in the church houses? There's bullying in the outhouses, the doghouses. There's bullying. Okay, as a kid, I grew up in Northeast Portland. Then we got bused to Southeast. So I had a basketball. Only one of the few African American had basketball. So my mom would say, "Hey, I need you to be home at 4 o'clock." Okay, 4 o'clock. So the other kids didn't, either they didn't believe my mom or didn't really care what she said. They took my basketball, and they played basketball without me. Okay, and here it is 4:30, I haven't got home. So 5 o'clock, I go home with my basketball. Now, I didn't want to tell my mom that the guys took my basketball. So she ended up beating me, spanking me, disciplining me. So the next day, I went back to school, and that rage came out, because I knew I'd rather get beat up at school than at home. And so I said, I have to say this, because sometimes even in bullying, it starts there. And with me, it was implanted. You don't let no one beat you up, okay? You want them to beat you up, or you want me to beat you up? And at that time, my mom was she was a lot quicker than Muhammad Ali. She hit harder than Joe Frazier. So that was kind of interesting.
Wow, that is deep. That is deep. Listeners, look, I know there's people out there that are impacted by this, and you can see this conversation is getting very deep, and we'd love to hear your story too. Is there somebody out there that's also working against bullying? Love to hear what you're doing. Love to figure out how to plug into what you're doing. But we need, give us a call, 503-231-8187, talking about bullying. I would love to hear more from Pastor Carlos Richards about what the work that your mom is doing. Some kind of anti-bullying work that's modeled on TED Talks.
Yeah, my mother.
That's genius.
Well, here's what we're all doing. My mom represented the Della Mae Johnson Scholarship Seminar in conjunction with Papa and Tabernacle of Congregation Ministries. So the Della Mae Johnson Scholarship Seminar is an event that's held annually for the sole purpose of raising money to provide scholarships to children who are going to post-high school education. And at this seminar, my mother had made space this year for Larry and I to come and do a presentation on anti-bullying campaign. So at the end of the day, here are some of the things, Lisa, that we address in our training sessions. One, we give a definition of bullying. We provide statistics and metrics on bullying. We actually depict what physical bullying is, verbal bullying, indirect bullying, and relationship bullying / social alienation. And we also talk about the cyberbullying. And we've talked a lot about the female males on the show, but we also have to talk about females, because bullying does occur with females, okay? I think over the last 10 years or so in Portland, we've seen a spike. We've seen an increase in the number of incidents that happen in the community around violence happen with females, which is, of course, is no surprise to us. I think females are more subtle. I think they're more covert in terms of their bullying. I think when it comes to relationship bullying and social alienation, I think that's where you're going to see the bullying take place among the females, because females are more relational than males in a lot of respects. I believe that's just how they were wired, how they were made up to be relational. And so with females, it can really, really get nasty. If you go on YouTube, there is plenty of video on YouTube where females are fighting one another in the streets. You used to didn't see that, Lisa, but now you see it more and more, where females are fighting in the streets. They are no longer just the associates or the gang girls. They are now taking the place when the men are in jail. These young women are now out on the streets right now, and they are doing the violence themselves. They are fighting. And really, when you get to the school aspect of it, this relationship bullying, I'm telling you, is real, if I can just use this grassroots word, cold-blooded, because girls are more into appearance, and so there is a shape, there is a size, there is a model that says, if you don't look like this, you can't join the group. If you don't have this, you can't join the group. And it's real
just cold-blooded, because it works on the psychological aspects of these females, okay? And so if females don't look a certain way, if they can't get their hair a certain way, if they can't get their nails done, if they don't have this particular style of clothing, these females get alienated. But that is also a form of bullying when you intentionally exclude, isolate, and ostracize another female from participating because of her external appearance. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
With Adrian, who is, used to be a gang member, is that true in the gang in terms of the females? Is it?
Yeah, not as much as today, like Pastor Carlos said. I think a lot of that has to do with the social networking. It's handicapping them from their social development, you know. Kids don't know how to hold conversations anymore, so they're so quick to ball the fist up and fight or to say something negative to another person because they haven't exercised the ability to converse. So that's something that's kind of like ruining them, you know. I would say social networking is mm-hmm. is a key aspect into bullying.
Go to texting.
Yeah, texting
is one that we're seeing a lot of bullying on.
Texting, it's like, is texting a form of like cyberbullying? I mean, do we look at it that way? Okay.
Yeah, texting is a form of cyberbullying. And, you know, if you just watch the news and if you just keep up on the internet, there is so much bullying going on over text messages, over emails, Facebook. Over Skype. Yeah, thank you, Adrian, especially over Facebook. A lot of the fights among females have been started just over a simple Facebook post. I don't like your outfit. Ooh, your hair is really ugly. And then all of a sudden, this incites just rage. It incites, you know, madness, and it incites anger. And then all of a sudden, instead of setting up play dates, they setting up fight dates.
Right. True. This is true. Yeah,
we've seen it. Listeners, look, we have half the show left. We need some more people to give us a call and share your story, because I know there's people out there. You know what? Maybe people are thinking that their bullying that they've had to deal with stresses them out and they don't want to share it. Maybe it's something people don't want to touch on. Because what strikes me about bullying is, I think, you know, when I was a kid, my teeth were, they stuck straight out like a horse's buck. They had buck teeth. And I had a half an inch gap in my front teeth. And I had braces for 5 years and my hair was weird. And I mean, I didn't even talk for years.
Today.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Adrian. But when I sometimes I look at some of these situations, I relate to it in a way as an adult that makes me scared again. It makes me have an emotional reaction. So I kind of don't want to go there in a way. So what's interesting to me is the work that you're doing. Like, do you have a sense that more adults are coming in to support what you do? Or do you feel like maybe people are kind of freaked out by it? They don't want to plug in. What kind of reactions are you getting from other people?
But, you know, one thing that I'm going to say this, and this is kind of important to me. You're saying that we're only as sick as our secrets. And it's time for us to unveil our secrets. That's why you have Club Confidence. If you can't talk to your mom or your dad or your pastor, then call up Club Confidence. Because our job, I'm sick because I still have issues even today with bullying. Okay, but I'm not afraid of saying those things. My sister used to bully me.
Mine bullied me too. She punched me. Go ahead.
My sister used to bully me. Okay, and I couldn't tell my mom because I felt my mom bullied me too. But I'm saying, that is keeping it real, Marcia. But I'm just saying, those are real. Willingness secrets are secrets. And I think it's time for us to quit depending on the next person to take care of our problems. Try to open up. Just kind of open up. Like Pastor Richards, he allowed me to open up. Because, you know, sometimes you see things, but you don't really see them. But we're in a position now. I mean, we're not getting paid for this. Okay, there's not a, you know, we don't go out there and, you know, there's not a marching band, but we do accept donations. But we're not getting paid for that. But I'm saying it's time for someone to stand up for the cause. Because as he said earlier, if you don't stand up for something, you'll fall for it. What's that?
Anything.
Right.
Anything. And again, listeners, it's true. You know, actually what the Magical Engineering Pixie is saying is that maybe folks are afraid their personal bully might be listening. So they're not calling in with their stories or observations or plug-in about bullying. And again, you know, when I think about bullying and when we think about what happens on the playground, I don't mean to be a weirdo, but I think about the war on terror. Yeah. I think the way we bomb these other countries is a bully factory.
I agree.
And so we act like, you know, our government acts like, oh, We're victims. We're victims. We have to protect ourselves from these people that are bombing Boston and bappity-bappity-ba. But we, if you could step outside that bubble, the whole rest of the planet sees our government as the biggest bully on the planet now. More, there is no Soviet Union anymore. And listeners, look, 503-231-8187. Call in to weigh in on this conversation, or we're just going to chat amongst ourselves. I'm just putting that out. But talk about that a little bit, too. It's like this goes so deep. That's it why does. It seems like such a big thing to deal with.
And that's to elaborate on what the caller Sean said. This country was founded on bullying.
Yeah.
This is how we were built. I mean, it started from the Pilgrims to Hiroshima to Vietnam. You know, this is what we do. This is what we were built on, and it's sad, but it's true.
All right.
Well, I think also, Adrian, to add to that, I think this is the whole issue with transparency that Larry was talking about, and being honest and being open. You know, again, how this country was founded, you know, you got to go back, you know, African-Americans.
Transatlantic slave trade.
Yeah, transatlantic slave trade and the Africans that were brought over here, and they were forced into slavery. You know, and the bullying that continued with equal rights, you know, for African Americans, you know, for all people of color. That's a much deeper conversation that I hope one day we can have. Even right here in the state of Oregon, there are still laws in some cities that have sundown laws. So, again, we have to understand this is a much, much deeper conversation that takes us back thousands of years. And if we're really going to address the issue, look at our capitalistic economy. I mean, that is a form of bullying, if you ask me. How the rich get richer and the poor get poor. And that for some individuals, a pathway has already been created for them to be successful in society, but the same pathway is not given to everybody for everybody to be successful in society. Politics is another form of bullying.
True.
The basic definition of politics is a fight for power. It is a basic form of bullying. Now, this conversation probably will not be well received by a lot of individuals. I'm a political science major, so this conversation, I'm not apprehensive to have it. But again, as we mentioned, you know, different forms of bullying. I think it's also important to mention that we're not here to cast the blame or point the finger at anybody. What we're saying is we want to be the entity that starts the conversation that really puts us on the sojourn to reduce and eliminate bullying. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we have to delve back into our history and see where this has come from, where this has divided our country, and then we have to sort of connect the dots and do the mapping. It went from a issue with the government to the communities. Lisa, let's talk about housing and how we talk about gentrification. 97227 is the most gentrified, fastest gentrified area of North Portland right now, where I live. So if you want to talk about bullying, let's go all the way back and really talk about how laws, rules, legislation, and regulations were put in place to intentionally displace a certain group of people, mostly African Americans, so that they can continue to implement a plan in terms of what they think is best for society. So we can talk about bullying in a lot of different facets.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to do that. And again, we're not blaming anybody. We're saying come join us so that we can make this better for everybody.
We're saying drill down. And it's so funny because when you're talking about that, I like shows that give me ideas in the moment. And I've been so crabby about President Barack Obama. I have been so crabby about him. Now it makes me think, you know, the CIA bullies him. He's a bully victim. That's why he's not doesn't seem to be in charge. That was just me talking. That's only my own personal opinion. And we do have a bunch of callers.
Yes.
We got Rachel on the phone. Rachel, what's your take? What's going on with you today?
Well, I think that it's really important to teach children at a very young age, not just not to bully, but how to deal with conflict. And I'm not talking about fight back, like you were saying, but I'm talking about we have to teach them how to interact with each other and how to not just report it to a teacher. So many teachers are stepping in to a conversation or a disagreement with children and just taking care of themselves. You go this way, you go that way, instead of giving children the tools to take care of it themselves, to work through their problems. And so and when you have teachers coming in and taking care of it, just walking off, you know, then the children have no outlet in order to work through these things. And then they grow up and they don't know how to work through their difficult issues.
Rachel, do you work with kids?
I have a young child. He's 6.
All right. And is there a place where you have gone to educate yourself about this issue? Is there like a resource that you would share with us that we could read to?
No.
Okay.
Logic, I guess.
Right on. Well, I really appreciate your call. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
Giving people the tools to deal with conflict, we don't do that very well in this
and
country either.
Rachel, I appreciate that call. And this is what we do with Papa and Tabernacle of Congregation Ministries in terms of the workshop that we conduct on bullying. Number one, we think it's immensely important that there is a lot of parental and family support. Again, I agree with Rachel. We just should not rely solely upon our educational system to teach kids how to interact.
Every kid is homeschooled.
Right.
I don't care if you go to school or not. Every child is
exactly.
homeschooled. That kid's learning stuff at home even if you don't know that you're teaching them stuff. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, Lisa. No, that's a very important point. Because at the end of the day, if parents do not understand these warning signs of their children, increase passivity or withdrawal, frequent crying, unexplained bruises inconsistent with the story, major social life changes in outlook, avoidance or refusal of school, and decline in schoolwork. If parents do not understand those warning signs, they will not be able to inculcate their children with lessons on how to have healthy relationships and healthy interactions, and also teaching their children how to recognize an unhealthy relationship and an unhealthy interaction. If it starts in the home. It doesn't start when they get to school. It starts in the home. And then the last thing I'll say, Lisa, to the caller's comment is parents have to do, in my mind, one important thing when their children come home from school, and that is to sit their children down and not be their friend, be the parent, and demand that their children tell them what happened in school today. Mm. It is called follow-up, one word. If parents will follow up with their children the minute they get home from school, one of the issues is we don't eat around the table anymore. In my household coming up, we ate around the table. You had to be home at 6 o'clock, or as Larry said, you got bullied. But my mom, who was in the educational system, and my father, who had his own business, they drilled us with what happened in school. And so, again, parents, it is your responsibility. It's our responsibility. Yes, it takes a village to raise a child, but the child don't live in the village. The child lives in your home. When that child come home, and what I mean is the children are just not sleeping on the streets of the village. The children sleep somewhere. And when that child comes home, parent, it is your job to do one thing, and that's follow up.
Right on. And we have 3 callers. Let's just rip into those phone lines. We have DJ. DJ, what do you think?
Well, I think about the whole bullying thing is I take it like this. They say all bullying mostly comes from, like, poverty-stricken areas. But I wouldn't also agree with that because it also comes in the good neighborhoods. Like, you know, like, far as me, I lived in the poverty-stricken area, like, to the age of 4. And then I moved to the suburban area. And me being a different race of being around predominantly white kids, they were, like, try to bully me on, like, where I come from and, like, that me being ghetto and things. So I was like, well, what should I do to stand up against these type of things? Like, you know, being an educated black man in a predominantly white area, and how should I be able to deal with these type of things? Like, will I be the bully, or, like, being bullied, how can I break away from that? So, you know, that's my whole outlook on the things of, you know, bullying and stuff like that. So it's, like, kind of hard on, you know, like, what to do in those type of situations. So it's, like, for me going through this, it seems like I helped out most of the kids that had problems with being bullied and things like that my time growing up and going to school. So, like, you know.
Right on. DJ, what town did you move to?
Well, I'm originally from Illinois. You know, I stayed in Chicago, but I moved into a suburb area called Palatine. But now I reside out in Beaverton, you know, so it's like it's not just like poverty stricken or like things where gangs and stuff and things like that. You know, it's all types of area of the world that this problem need to be resolved, and all people should be treated the same, you know?
You're absolutely right. And one thing that we know about domestic violence is that it happens across the board. Super rich people, super poor people, happens across the board. DJ, thanks a ton for calling. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.
That was an awesome call.
Well, DJ,
can we answer?
Yeah.
Can we get all the calls and then answer? DJ?
All right. Okay. All right. Here. So let's take the next caller, but we're going to hold on to DJ if we can.
Okay.
We have Ruth on the phone. Ruth, what do you think?
Definitely, it starts in the home. I think it was last year there was a documentary out. I saw it at the Fox. It wasn't playing very long. It's called Bully. And that was excellent.
Yeah.
And as a retired teacher, it was real hard for me to, you know, not jump out of the chair because you could see it on the screen. This boy was bullied at home. And so when he got to school, he, of course, had the sign, you know, I'm a target. And so I followed up sending one of the parents who helped do that documentary. I sent him an email because he and his wife dedicated their rest of their lives to going into middle schools. At any rate, it's a great documentary, and everybody should see it.
Thanks for calling. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
And it does start in the home. Because I know I was bullied in school, but it started in our home. And so it's like you have a sign on you as a kid. And so you just kind of, you do carry it with you till you figure out, you know, that your inner strength can bounce that back and then just
feel
kindness for people.
Awesome.
Who are fearful.
Great.
Because that's what a bully is. Thank you for the show.
Thanks, Ruth. Actually, Ruth just brought up this interesting other point, like what motivates bullies. But let's go for the next caller. Sean, again. Sean, what do you got?
Hey, I just couldn't resist. Really quick, we can't have a discussion about bullying without talking about two philosophers, Friedrich Nietzsche and Ayn Rand. Paul Ryan, the vice presidential candidate, said that Ayn Rand was his hero, and she was like mandatory reading. You know, I think poor people in general, you know, people like me, we were raised to treat others the way we'd like to be treated. But if you read Ayn Rand, if you read Friedrich Nietzsche, the whole concept of the will to power, it's all about establishing, it's all about might makes right. And you can actually Google Paul Ryan and the Satanic Bible connection. Ayn Rand basically, the author of the Satanic Bible basically took Ayn Rand's philosophy. And we, you know, major figures like Alan Greenspan, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, he was an Ayn Rand follower.
Right.
So I think we have to look at this issue of this satanic philosophy of, like, objectification of other human beings for your own gratification. That's really at the heart of bullying.
Sean, thanks for calling. And I have to tell people, in July, we're actually going to have an author who... just wrote a book that's a response to Ayn Rand. And we're going to talk about some of these deep conceptual issues. Were you going to say something, Larry? No. All right. Hold on a second. I do have to say, coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Political Perspectives, host Stephanie Potter interviews author Rory Friedman about her new book, Beg, A Radical New Way of Regarding Animals. At 9:30, Paul Rowland interviews Daryl Cherney, Earth First activist and producer of the documentary Who Bombed Judy Berry, about busting a myth about retired FBI agent Frank Doyle. At 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, a full report and update on the genocide trial and conviction of former Guatemalan strongman General Efrain Rios Montt. Federal investigators secretly seized 2 months of phone records from AP reporters and editors, and part two of Jeremy Scahill's recent speech in Berkeley. At 11, Chris Siegel and Kate Welch host the Food Show with guests Amy Stewart, author of The Drunken Botanist, Barbara Bernstein, and Elaine Velasquez on their documentary about food justice, and Sarah Berger, the lead cook for the Village Building Convergence. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Don't be shy about going on our website, kboo.fm, and clicking on the happy tip jar. Yay! Anyway, we have some more callers. Let's go back to the phone line. Melinda, we have Melinda on the phone. Melinda, what's going on?
Hi, it's Melissa.
Oh, Melissa.
Hi, Papa.
Hello.
I wanted to say, I was thinking about what Adrian has said about us going back to the root of it. And, you know, it started back in Bible days when the angels took the form of men, and they were bullying all the the humans here on the earth, and they were the bad angels who were eventually kicked out of heaven. But I think that spirit has kind of stayed on the whole earth, and but as intelligent human beings who that we are, we can change that by being more at home. I think I agree with Adrian about parents at home and having more patience with our children and listening to them and being a parent, but also being someone that they can talk to and not feel like we're going to judge them in any kind of a way.
All right. Thanks a ton for calling, Melissa.
Thank you.
I wanted to go back to DJ a little bit. DJ, are you there? Okay, Magical Engineering Pixie is like laboring over a hot griddle in that air room now. Do we have DJ on the line?
Yeah, this is him.
Hey, DJ, have you been working with anybody else, or do you work with people or have something that you do to interrupt bullying? Because I get the sense that you've been someone who's tried to fix this problem for people. How do you interrupt it?
Oh, well, actually, right now, I'm enrolled in ITT Tech. I'm a student there, so I'm doing school father the most. But, like, in my local neighborhood, like, I have little cousins that my mother had adopted. So, like, with their growing up time period and things they go through, it seems like the past of my life experience growing up. So I just give them guidelines on how to get through those type of things and, like, study methods on how to become, like, better people in those type of situations that they encounter and things like that, you know.
And so you just basically reach out to young people and just share your knowledge, your wisdom.
Yeah, because I'm really into, like, music. Like, that's my trade of thought and my growing in life. So, I have a younger cousin coming up, and he does music. So I let him know how he should do his music and, just be real with it and come from his heart. And everything that comes from the heart, it will transpire into good things, you know. If you don't, like, the outreach of, like, negativity, it would bring the world down. So him being positive, even though he's in an area where people suspect him to be a negative person and, already stereotyping him, and he show them in a different way, then he makes a role for a lot of different people that's like him, so he can upbring it instead of bring down, you know?
So DJ, in your experience, like, if you could tell a whole bunch of people out here that feel frustrated about bullying and we don't know what to do, what's your advice? I mean, just for everyday people, how can all of us, like, just do something? And none of us are actually paid to be here. That's cracking me up, by the way. None of us are paid to be here. We're all here because we care about it. So if you were going to give the wider community advice for how to interrupt the bullying and how to get rid of it, what is your advice to people?
Well, first and foremost, I would tell them to try to just, turn the cheek and walk away from those type of things and then just talk to somebody with that sense of mind, like an older adult or something like that. And if that's not working out, then just basically maintain, like, calm and learning experience. Take it to a learning experience and use your higher learning of thought and let them understand that you're not illiterate and that you understand things and you can get things done with the job that needs to be done on bullying, because, like, a bully had to be bullied to bully people. So you got to let them know, like, that bullying is not right and is not all right, you know?
I want to ask you one more thing, and this is a really critical thing, and you brought this up. What about racial bullying? What about in a place when, as my friend Jerry says, you're the only speck of paper, a pepper in a sea of salt? How do you deal with that? That's really hard. That's a different kind of hard.
Oh yeah, now that is really hard, because, like, you really have no one to talk to, because you have people to talk to, but you don't know if they're going to do you like the other person. Like, they can make it like it's a game. They can act like they're helping you, or they can be acting like they're helping you. And then when they get around amongst their people, they can make fun of you and talk about you. So all you got to do is, it makes you have a more sense of a mind power to think and to pray to God and let God deal with all type of things, because he'll reach those people through you reaching him, and then they'll start to understand even more about how you're feeling on the inside. So then they'll want to adapt and learn your culture too as well. So it'll open all doors for all people to see that racism doesn't really lie in the world. It's just that people feel that way because of past tense in life, that we need to think more about the future. So we need to expand our horizons.
All right.
Is he a politician?
TJ, I know. TJ, I will vote for you. Send me your contact information. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate your calling, DJ. We're going to cut you loose now because we're starting to run out of show, and I want to make sure that all the people that we have around the table let us know how we can plug in with the work that you're doing. So who wants to start?
You got another call, right?
Do you want to go to the Oh, we got Brian on the phone. Let's go to Brian. Brian?
Hi. I guess this is from an international point of view, but it is more apparent in America, I guess, from what I've seen. I'm glad I didn't go to school here. I wasn't bullied at school, but I was sort of popular and good at sports. But a friend and I used to... It's more prevalent in the private schools in Britain, but what I was going to say is there's another kind of bullying I experienced when I did an apprenticeship in an architectural office. My boss hated me and bullied me mercilessly, just about destroyed my morale, and I was quite a confident kind of guy when I got into that situation. Mm-hmm. And what I had to do was basically tell my father, and he went over there. I wasn't present, but he's an old judo and box instructor in the British Army, and he stopped it right there, you know. He was shaking. You know, he used to wonder why I got depressed when I came home, and he finally got it out of me, and he went and you know, basically said, you know, I'm going to take him out of there and tell everybody why. And then I'm going to take you around the back somewhere and show you what it feels like to be bullied. So you have to, I think, parental support and being honest with your parents is a good thing.
All right, Brian, I got to cut you loose. Thank you so much for calling. It is interesting, again, when you look at how this impacts the workplace and actually the impact it can have on your business. But let's go around the room now. We've got like 3.5 minutes. Let's let everybody know how to plug in with what you're doing, because people are going to want to support you. They're going to want to find out more about the... I'm really interested in Club Confidence. So how can people... Yeah, how can people connect with you at Papa around Club Confidence? Let's start there. They're pointing at each other. Okay, do you have a phone number?
You can reach Papa at P.O. Box 5232, Portland, Oregon, 97208. We're accepting donations to make our work possible. It's a nonprofit organization. You could also reach the president of the company, Larry Collins, at 503-839-8676. All donations would be appreciated and wisely used. I'd like to invite all listeners to come to our Saturday kickball event. It'll be held at 160th and Southeast Main Street.
When is it?
It'll be on Saturdays.
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday, that's sunshine.
Right on. We don't even have to tweet or Facebook that. Yeah. We could just go there. I love
just
stuff
go.
Like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Come ready to ball.
Okay. And Pastor Carlos Richards, now you have several things that you talked about. The Elizabeth Richards Seminars, Delamate Johnson Scholarship Seminars for college, scholarships for people. How can people support? First of all, I really want people to support Elizabeth Richards. How can people support her, your mom?
Thank you, Lisa. We really appreciate that in terms of the Delamay Johnson Scholarship Seminar. You can simply contact Elizabeth Richard at the Delamay Johnson Scholarship Seminar. Her contact phone number is 971-275-5411. Again, Elizabeth Richard with the Delamay Johnson Scholarship Seminar, 971-275-5411. It is, again, a great event that she puts on every year in honor of Delamay Johnson, one of the members of her church, for scholarships for individual for post-high school education.
How about some of the other work you're doing? How can we plug into the other work that you're doing?
Well, you know, right now I'm connected with Papa. Okay. As well. Adrian has already given the information for Papa. And
I'll put it up on the website.
Exactly.
All right. You know, Larry,
oh,
famous last words. We got 1 minute.
First of all, our motto is Papa, stop pointing finger and lend a hand. I want to say thank you to my partners, my buddies, for coming out and just having good words. And again, we're a nonprofit, so your donation is appreciated. We're not on the line bag or anything like that. But the most important thing is that if you can, remember somebody who's less fortunate than you. That's what we do. And July the 27th is our annual event.
Day of Retilling the Soil.
Right.
We'll have you back then.
Okay.
That's it for our show. Thanks to our guests, Larry Collins, Pastor Carlos Richards, and Adrian Collins of People of Purpose and Associates. Special thanks to engineer Steve Nasser and Sky the Studio Dog. This show will be podcast on KBOO.FM by the end of today. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on this show. Theme music by the March 4th Marching Band. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for Political Perspectives.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River in the Gorge, 100.7 FM Corrales in Albany. The time is 9:01. Coming up next on Political Perspectives, your host Stephanie Potter interviews author Rory Friedman about her new book, Beg, A Radical New Way of Regarding Animals. At 9:30, Paul Rowland interviews Daryl Cherney, Earth First activist and producer of the documentary Who Bombed Judy Berry, about busting a myth about retired FBI agent Frank Doyle. At 10 o'clock here, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. And at 10:15 on Flashpoints, a full report and update on the genocide trial and conviction of former Guatemalan strongman, General Rios Montt.
The Oregon Cartoon Institute and KBOO Community Radio are proud to present Harry Smith, PDX, a history and arts education project. Harry Smith in the Pacific Northwest, a panel discussion at the Hollywood Theater, will be held May 16th at 3 o'clock. There will be a Harry Smith seance featuring 16mm films by Harry Smith, plus writers and film directors whose works highlight Harry Smith's life, on May 16th at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater. Finally, at the Harry Smith Free For All at the Cleaners, May 19th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., there will be a series of short interactive presentations about the life and work of Harry Smith. More information about Harry Smith PDX can be found online at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the page under Community Events.
If you missed any of the KBOO broadcast of the 2013 Illahi Lecture Series, fear not. They are now all archived online and available for your listening pleasure at kboo.fm/Illahi2013. The lectures were Raj Patel with Who Owns Our Food, Buck Parker, Who Owns Our Environment, John Stauber, Who Controls Our Media, Catherine Austin Fitz, Who Controls Our Finances, and Jeffrey Clements with Who Owns Our Government. Again, all these speeches can be found at kboo.fm/Illahi2013.
Hi, it's 9.03 a.m. and you're tuned to Political Perspectives on KBOO Portland. I'm Stephanie Potter, and I'm in the studio here with Rory Friedman, who co-authored a book that put her number one on the New York Times bestseller list for 3 years. That was Skinny Bitch, a sassy book promoting veganism to get dieters to rethink eating animals. Her latest book is Beg, A Radical New Way of Regarding Animals. Rory is passionate in her love for all animals, and Rory's home is in Los Angeles, where she lives with her own 3 dogs, Lucy, Joey, and Timber. I just want to welcome you to the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
And tonight, Rory, you're going to be at Powell's, right, in downtown Portland?
That's right. I'm doing a signing there tonight at 7:30.
7:30. Okay, so you might want to actually see Rory in person and get a copy of this book, because it's intense, but it's really good. And as we said, the title of your book, Beg, A Radical New Way of Regarding Animals. So I wanted to start just with, what is this radical new way of regarding animals, especially compared to our conventional way?
Well, it depends on where you are on your animal spectrum, how radical it's going to seem. When I was, let's see, maybe 18 years old or 19 years old, I had a humongous shift in how I looked at animals, how I saw the animals around me, how I saw the animals that I was using in my everyday life, but just had no idea. It just didn't really dawn on me. And I had a radical shift. And when I wrote Skinny Bitch, the intention was to sort of inspire and motivate that same shift in other people, and it worked. And I've gotten emails from thousands of people all over the world saying that they indeed changed their lives and don't see animals the same. And the hope with this book, Beg, is to inspire that shift again in regular people who are animal lovers.
Just regular people. And it seems like, and by the way, I want to let listeners know you can call in. Our number here is 503-231-8187 and talk to Rory yourself. But it seems that a lot of what your book was about, it was initially addressed to pet lovers. And it's this idea that there's a contrast between being a pet lover and an animal lover, and a lot of people don't even realize that.
It's true. And as a child, it's how I most identified myself, was as an animal lover. But I never made the connection outside the animals that I lived with, the dogs and cats and birds, or the animals that I wanted, like a chimpanzee as a pet. It didn't occur to me that when I sat down to eat dinner with my family, who was also animal lovers, that we were eating animals, or that on our feet were the skins of dead animals. So once I made that connection, I had to make a lot of changes. And some of them felt challenging, others felt easy, but overall, they all felt like the right thing to do, because